Hey y'all, Darius Rucker here. You know, a lot of people ask me, what inspires your music? And one of the big things is a strong sense of place. That's why I love my home state of South Carolina and want to share the awesome things it has to offer. From the beautiful mountains down to the sunny coast, it's got it all. Not to mention two of my personal favorites, great golf and amazing food. Come see why I love this place. Visit discoversouthcarolina.com.
Attention all small biz owners. At the UPS store, you can count on us to handle your packages with care. With our certified packing experts, your packages are properly packed and protected. And with our pack and ship guarantee, when we pack it and ship it, we guarantee it. Because your items arrive safe or you'll be reimbursed. Visit the upsstore.com/guarantee for full details. Most locations are independently owned. Product services, pricing, and hours of operation may vary. See center for details. The UPS store. Be unstoppable. Come into your local store today.
There was a bipartisan immigration bill that was going to try to fix some of this stuff. And Trump didn't want to fix it. He made the House vote against it because he doesn't want a rational system. He wanted the system to fail. And they don't want law. Okay? President Trump does not want law. He does not believe in law.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to George Conway Explains It All to Sarah. I'm Sarah Longwell, publisher of The Bulwark, and because I'm not a lawyer, I've asked my good friend George Conway from the Society for the Rule of Law to explain the legal news to me. And George, my friend, you got some splaining to do today because we have a big illegal news issue.
Yep.
So we're recording this on Tuesday.
Right.
And yesterday at 5 p.m., there was a hearing in Judge Boasberg's courtroom about the deportation of Venezuelans despite orders not to. So,
correct.
To set the context, on Saturday, Trump invoked the Alien Enemies Act of 1798, declaring that a Venezuelan gang was conducting irregular warfare against America, which would allow the administration to deport any non-citizen declared to be associated with the gang without proof or the ordinary legal protections and process required for deportation. So later on Saturday, a district court judge, this Judge Boasberg, issued an order blocking the deportations. But flights to El Salvador continued anyway, and over 200 people were deported. Now, George, I am against gangs.
Same here. Bad people.
Failing gangs.
And there are probably some bad people who are deported. But
so tell me, I know you're ready to rip on this. So just, I'm going to put a quarter in the machine and you roll.
Am I ready to roll?
Yeah, let's go.
Okay. So, I mean, what happened was on Friday night, Trump signs an executive order invoking the Alien Enemies Act, and for this purpose, for them, so they could remove these Venezuelans. They don't tell anybody because what they wanted to do is they wanted to sneak a whole bunch of people out of the country before anybody found out and then post it on social media and say, look at what we did. And they wanted to come to the courts with a fait accompli.
To be clear, what they posted on social media was like a glossy, almost film-like production.
Right, but that was after they got caught.
Okay.
So I want to go through the chronology.
Okay,
so,
go through chronology.
So Friday night, they do this, and what happened was, on sometime during the night, some immigration activists got wind that this was something was afoot. And the very next morning, the ACLU and another group file a lawsuit in the United States District Court for the District of Columbia. They did it in the wee hours, challenging what the president was about to do. And the president, they came public with the order. And by the end of the day, there was a hearing on Saturday before Judge Boasberg, held by Zoom with the judge in his regular clothes at home. And basically, what happened was, the judge said, I don't see any basis for invoking the Alien Enemies Act. These people are being denied due process, and I'm going to enjoin this from happening. And the judge is correct that the Alien Enemies Act does not apply. notwithstanding what Donald Trump says, because the Alien Enemies Act requires, at a minimum, either a declared war or an invasion by the alien enemies. And there's no declared war, obviously. And what the Trump administration is asserting is that these people who are here in the United States, possibly illegally, possibly not, let's set that aside for the moment, have invaded the country and they are causing more people to come, and that is an invasion. And of course, that is not the common term for an invasion. Is when you have people coming over the border armed and invading you. This is not an invasion. It may be something else. It may be bad. They may be gang people, but we'll discuss that in a moment.
But aren't they maybe coming over the border?
They're already here. Okay. But they're not coming at border en masse the way, you know, an invasion is a military invasion in the common parlance of the word. Okay. So if you had like a small battalion of troops or something coming over the Rio Grande, not a battalion, but a squad of troops coming over the, but that would be an invasion, a little one. This is not an invasion. These people are here. They may not be here legally. They may be doing bad things. They may be conspiring to have people come on Avianca to Kennedy Airport, but that is not an invasion. But let's set that aside. Well, actually, we shouldn't set that aside. That's why this is illegal. Second point is, you can't just throw people out of the country without due process. You can stop them at the border if they show up at a port of entry, whether it be Tijuana or Kennedy Airport, and say, go back without due process. But once they're in the country, to remove them, you have to give them due process. And that's another reason why this is illegal. And okay, so the Trump administration is saying, oh, these people are terrible, and they may well be, but we, giving them due process is giving us due process. Because it could be, and I'll get to this a little more later as the reasons why it may well be the case, is the government can make mistakes, or the government can just act arbitrarily, and we need a court system that says, okay, is this person really a bad person? Was he convicted of a crime? What did he do, or she? And is this person actually an alien? Could be a United States citizen. They just picked up because they're Venezuelan and they're originally from Venezuela. It could be a naturalized citizen. But anyway, what happened was the judge issued an oral order, and it turned out, and we know this because the government has kind of admitted it, but at first, these flights, I think they were charters, were tracked on, you know, Flight Radar 24. You can track your own airplane. You can track your relatives when they're coming in to see if their plane is late. You can track any airplane that has a transponder anywhere in the world. And people, you know, figured out there were three flights coming from some bizarre place in Texas, going to Tegucigalpa, Honduras, stopping for a couple of hours, and then flying to San Salvador, where they disembarked, the people disembarked. Turned out that one of the things that happened during the hearing is that the judge orally said, if there are planes in the air, they must turn back. Turned out there were planes in the air. It was an hour before the planes landed in Tegucigalpa. And it was hours before the planes went from Tegucigalpa to San Salvador. In addition, there was a third plane that the plane did not even take off until after the court had issued a written order. And so basically the issue arises, is this the moment that I've been talking about for weeks on this podcast, including, I've looked it back up, 3 days after Trump took office. At some point I'm saying I'm worried that they're going to disobey court orders. Well, they did disobey a court order today, this time. The question is, are they doing it in the sort of, you can argue it doesn't matter, are they doing it in the dog ate my homework kind of way that they've been doing it this far? It's like, oh, is that what you meant by the order? Oh, gosh, the message didn't get out to all the agency locations, or oops, we forgot. Things, you know, bullshit excuses that I call dog ate my homework excuses. And on Monday, when the issue arose as to whether or not, on Sunday and Monday, when these issues arose as to whether or not they had violated these court orders, they came out with a variety of explanations. One is, we didn't intend to violate the order. Or another one was, it was only a oral order, And these planes had taken off and were in international airspace before the judge issued his written order. And oral orders don't count. They had all sorts of explanations that they were pushing publicly and on Sunday and Monday. But they were also saying things like, you know, Tom Homan went on TV saying, "We don't care what judges think." He was saying this on essentially on Fox News. And then, you know, Steve Miller, who clearly is not right in the head, was screaming on CNN about judges can't tell us to do this. He's literally screaming. The guy's not well. And then you've got Carolyn Leavitt also saying things like, well, judges can't tell the president what to do, you know, in the exercise of his Article II authorities. And so they've come up with a variety of rationales for arguing that they didn't violate the court order, they didn't intentionally violate the court order, but also they're saying the courts can't tell us what to do. So it's a little bit ambiguous whether we have reached that moment where they're literally telling courts that they can't, that courts cannot tell them what to do. And they clearly are developing a rationale for ignoring courts. And what their rationale is, and we saw a little of it, I think we discussed it last week in the Judge Howell hearing, the hearing that Judge Howell held in the Perkins Coie case, the case with the law firms where President Trump declared a law firm, Perkins Coie, as being basically a threat to the national security of the United States. They're basically want to take the position, and they're intimating the position that Article 2 of the Constitution that gives the president his authority to act in any number of areas, notwithstanding that it says he shall faithfully execute the law and Constitution of the United States, in other words, follow the statutes and not violate anybody's constitutional rights. Notwithstanding that, they're saying that the president's power is unreviewable in the area of national security, so all that Donald Trump has to say is national security, and all bets are off. And this is very fascistic, to say the least. And in this particular case, this is where they're headed. They wrote a letter to the Court of Appeals, which had no legal standing, to say, just Judge Boasberg, he's terrible, and you have to get him off the case, even though there really wasn't a proper application before. Today, I saw that President Trump tweeted that this guy, that he's a radical left judge, and he must be removed and impeached with all the judges.
He did this,
it's
just
completely
this morning.
Unhinged.
This radical left lunatic of a judge, a troublemaker and agitator who was sadly appointed by Barack Hussein Obama, was not elected president. He didn't win the popular vote, parentheses, by a lot, less than Obama, less than Hillary Clinton, less than Biden. But okay.
Okay, he's lying. Okay.
He didn't win all seven swing states. He didn't win 2,750 to 525 counties. He didn't win anything. Now they're in all caps. He didn't win anything. I won for many reasons in an overwhelming mandate, but fighting illegal immigration may have been the number one reason for this historic victory. That's probably true. I'm just doing what the voters wanted me to do. This judge, like many of the crooked judges I'm forced to appear before, should be impeached. 3 exclamation points. We don't want vicious, violent, and demented criminals, many of them deranged murderers, in our country. Make America great again. Many exclamation points. So this idea, I want to go back to this because I have a bunch of observations that I want to kind of throw at you. Some of them I wrote down in the early parts of our conversation, so I'm going to backtrack just a little bit. But one is on the language around invasion, because the Republicans have been describing the border situation as an invasion for a long time. And I do wonder, like, the term invasion now is used in common parlance. Like you said, the common understanding. But I would say, and it's amazing to me to actually think that they planned this, but it seems like now there's this sense of like, well, it is an invasion, right? Well, that Republicans have been calling it an invasion for such a long time, right, that there's a lot of Americans who will buy the idea that this is an invasion. This is how we're talking about this. Trump is well within his rights. So why isn't he?
Well, an invasion. I mean, the use of the language invasion has two purposes. One is propagandistic, because it gets people spun up and gets people scared and gets people willing to engage in desperate or unusual activities, including, you know, vigilantism and encouraging the government to violate the laws. That's point one. And point two is it has this secondary utility, if you will, in allowing some kind of an argument, a legal argument, that various emergency provisions in statutes can apply, or even in, you know, some kind of inherent emergency Article 2 provision that allows the president to do things that arguably, maybe not, that are that would otherwise be extra legal in the case of an invasion. I mean, you know, you think of Abraham Lincoln basically did a whole bunch of things in the spring of 1861 that weren't strictly legal because Congress was out of session and, you know, he was trying
suspended habeas corpus.
He tried to, you know, and we can debate the legality of that. It's ancient history. But the point about invasion is, like, we're conservatives, right? And the conservative legal mind traditionally has been, you know, when you have a word, you look to the word's traditional meaning, the meaning at the time it was written. This is the whole point.
That's originalism.
Of Bork and Scalia. This is what we've been talking about. You know, in other words, you know, we came of age in an era where we were making the point that Justice Brennan can't just decide that the Ninth Amendment means something he just conjured up in 1973.
Yes.
Okay? So, you know, words have meanings, but you have to go back to when they were, the common understanding of those words when they were written. So even if invasion now has this Fox News 2025 connotation to it that might get added to a dictionary definition, it doesn't count for purposes of a statute that was written in the 19th century. I mean,
yes.
The 18th century, excuse
18th
me.
Century. 18th 1798, century. I believe.
Right. The, they, you know, they were, the, you know, people in if this had been the definition of invasion in the 18th century, well, then the United States was in the middle of an invasion from then through basically the 20th century because it didn't have any immigration laws. People could just get on a boat and disembark, you know, anywhere in the United States. There was no immigration control in this country for decades, a long time. So it's nonsense. It is complete and utter nonsense. Now, here's the problem that some people, even some liberals that I talk to, are very worried about.
Yes.
They don't like, if this may or may not be the case where the Trump administration basically says, we will not follow court orders. You know, I think that's going to start with, we will not follow this court order. We will not follow court orders that restrain what we believe is the president's Article II powers to protect the nation from these foreigners and aliens and evil people, which has almost an infinite expansibility. Because, I mean, you know, Sarah Longwell's fucking dangerous, right? She's encouraging people to disbelieve the president when all the president is trying to do is save the country from the invasion. She is aiding and abetting invasion. Therefore, as part of the national security, my duty to protect the national security of the United States, we're gonna go to Maryland and find her house and take her away and send her to San Salvador. Okay, this is. I mean, I know that's far-fetched in some sense, but the rationale, you know, there's no limits to this rationale.
Well, George, no, the point you're making, it's what's not insane about it is this idea that if you don't have due process for some people, then you don't have due process for anyone.
Correct. And here's something that came out today, and I wish I had it. I mean, I wish I could pull it back out. It's on my phone. The government today filed a motion this morning, that I read very quickly in the last half hour or so, to get Judge Boasberg to withdraw his TRO and to withdraw. Also, we didn't really get into what happened at yesterday's hearing. But
well, and I want to.
But let me just say, filed a motion, but this goes to the question of due process and why process is due, even the worst people who have done the worst things. The government basically said, conceded that in its motion that some number of these people have never been convicted of a crime. So they're not deportable on that ground. So it's not clear that any of these people have not been proven to have done anything wrong. Okay? Some of them. At least some of them. Maybe all. Maybe most of them. We don't know, actually, because we don't know the actual numbers. That's one admission they made in their papers. Another assertion, which is kind of an admission, that they made in their papers is, because we know so little about these people, that makes them all the more dangerous.
Okay.
So basically they're saying, we don't know whether some of these people are bad, and we don't care. So, I've been hearing from immigration activists, or indirectly from people who've been talking to them, that there are probably some American citizens there. And there are a lot of innocent people there. And that's the point. If these people had been adjudicated or determined, even by the most rushed means, by somebody with some ability to make a rational assessment as to who these people are and whether they meet some standards, even though the Alien Enemies Act on its face does not apply, you know, some of these people would not be on those planes. And so what's to keep them from just like, oh, this guy speaks Spanish, he has this funny tattoo, we don't know what the tattoo means, his skin's kind of brown, he's hanging out with these other people, he lives downstairs from these other Venezuelans who are on our list, let's throw him in there. We don't know. And that's the point. That's why these people are entitled to a hearing. Because we are entitled to a hearing. That could be you or that could be me.
Okay.
Does that respond to your point?
It does. This is just an observation, and then I want to get to the hearing yesterday, and I also want to talk about the weird, like, drone footage of them getting the people on the plane. These, when I started, I said, I think gangs are bad. And I think Trende de Agua is the name of this particular Venezuelan gang that they're targeting. And I'm sure that for people who are in that gang, and for people who do the things that gang does, that I would like to see them deported if they're not American citizens.
Correct.
I want to say, like, I'm for that.
Yes, correct. Me too.
But here's where Trump is, this, and this follows the pattern of something we were talking about last week with Mahmoud Khalil. What Trump is doing is not by accident in these cases. They are looking for opportunities to defy free speech rights, to defy due process rights, to deny them to people who are very difficult to defend.
Correct.
Now, the Venezuelan gangs are more difficult to defend even than the Khalil Mahmoud, where I think we're all struggling to understand exactly, like, he's a campus protester. He's accused, like, they say that he's been handing out, you know, Hamas material to people, which if he is doing is extremely wrong. And I would condemn it. That doesn't mean he doesn't have free speech rights and that he can just be deported. And for those positions, depending on, like, the actual law, like, this is the problem. And this is, I think, with this Venezuelan thing, too. Like, how did they end up on the plane? Who was making the determination?
That's right.
What did they do? Like, all of us here who are trying to evaluate these issues are sitting there being like, I don't know how, like, Marco Rubio is invoking something to say this guy can be deported because he's a threat to our national security. Right. How are we supposed to evaluate the difference between a threat to the national security and just somebody exercising free speech rights when they won't tell us? Similarly, with the people being deported, we don't know. Are they all American citizens? Who's the one who put them on the planes? What's happening to them? Like, there's so much we don't know about.
That's absolutely right. And what they want to do is to reach to create and enforce a system in which they get to decide in an unreviewable manner who is bad and who is good and who shall be punished and who shall not be, who shall be ejected from the country, who shall be jailed. And this is absolutely 100% contrary to the Constitution of the United States and to our traditions of due process. And the 14th Amendment and the 5th Amendment basically say that no person, and the 5th Amendment applies to the federal government, the 14th of the states, no person shall be deprived of life, liberty, or property without due process of law. No person. That's just not just you and me as citizens, any person subject to the jurisdiction of the United States. And what process is due under, you know, basically 230 years of jurisprudence is based upon the severity of the punishment. Now, let's leave apart criminal punishment, which has its own special rules that are in the Constitution. But if you're being deprived of liberty, you're being held, you know, in prison pending deportation, there has to be at least some showing that you are deportable. If you are actually deported, there has to be some even greater showing that your liberty, which is the liberty to be in the United States, okay, which you, if you are in the United States, it's even if you're in here legally, you're having something taken away from you if you are deported. If you are in the United States with a green card, that's even doubly, triply, quadruply so, like the Columbia student. Okay, so these are deprivations of liberty, but it gets worse. It gets worse. These people are being sent out of the country. They may be citizens. We don't know. They may not have done anything wrong. We don't know. Nobody has proven anything against these guys. We don't know the basis for which they've been removed. They are being sent to an El Salvadoran prison to remain there indefinitely. It's not, you know, and we saw it, and we saw what they were being marched with their heads down. I saw a video online in the White House where you could see bruises on these people's faces. This is just abject savagery.
Well, let me ask you. Okay, so let's just try for the sake of argument, let's take like their side for a second and say, no, these people are all here illegally, which, let's say they think that, right? That's their claim, that they're all here illegally. Have they made that claim? Because if somebody's here illegally, that's different than if they're an American citizen or a green card holder.
I don't think they have made that argument. They have not made the argument that all of these people are here illegally or that they are all deportable under the regular immigration regime.
Right.
I think they have to be taking the position that these people are not American citizens because they're invoking the Alien Enemies Act.
And why does he have to invoke the Alien Enemies Act as opposed to the regular order of sort of immigration laws, which say if you're here illegally, we can deport you?
Because those have processes. There's a whole administrative process to kick somebody, legal or illegal, legally here or illegally here, out of the country. And one of the, you know, and this is a problem that we've had over the years, is we have a lot of people who have immigration issues of various sorts. Either they're being deported for overstaying their visas, or they need, you know, they've been denied a green card, or they need to get approval to, you know, all sorts of issues that arise. And we never had enough immigration judges. Okay?
Right.
We have all this, you know, we have this whole thing about immigration, and we refuse to spend money to make it work. And that's the big problem. And both parties deserve condemnation for this, although the Republicans, I mean, you know, part of what the Langford bill last year, the Republican joint bill, I mean, I'm not an immigration maven, but there was a bipartisan immigration bill that was going to try to fix some of this stuff. And Trump didn't want to fix it. He made the House vote against it because he doesn't want a rational system. He wanted the system to fail so that he could use it to get elected, to lie to the American people that this was a Democratic, that the Democrats didn't want to do anything about it, when in fact they basically acceded to the Republican Senate position. And then they want to be able to, you know, when they get to the White House and win, They want to basically just throw everybody out, and they don't want law. Okay, President Stephen Miller, President Trump does not want law. He does not believe in law. I mean, you know, he's a criminal, so none of this should surprise anybody. They want the unfettered power to do whatever they want to anybody in this realm.
And they're doing it in such a way where none of us want to be in the position of defending Venezuelan gangs, if that's what they are. But you still have to defend due process.
No.
And that is what this is about, right?
Correct. And I think what we're going to end up having is they're going to be touting their narrative, and all people watching on Fox News are going to say, oh, thank God, President Trump is finally doing something about all the criminals and so on. And meanwhile, if you don't watch Fox News, you're going to be learning a more nuanced thing where there are some bad people there. And then it's going to turn out there's going to be some soccer dad there, okay, who's an American citizen, who's probably, you know, got some blonde wife with blonde kids or something, okay? Just, you know, I'm just making that up to...
Maybe. I mean, I sort of, like, it would be crazy if what happens... is that it would be insane if actually there was American citizens on that plane.
Yeah, but at a minimum, they're going to be lawful permanent residents who have green cards, who are entitled to stay in the country with those green cards, as to whom the government has no legal basis to revoke the green card. Okay? I'll bet my bottom dollar on that. And we're going to see some horrible stories. Maybe not. Maybe they got it all right. Maybe the ICE is more competent than we expect, and they got it all right. Or maybe they were basically, you know, an ICE is doesn't have the greatest reputation as an agency. Maybe they're told you got to round up 100, you know, so and so many people. Because this is for show.
Yeah. For show part is that the reason I wanted to talk about how there's like a very decently high quality footage of them loading people onto these planes. Like, it's a kind of made for TV production.
Correct.
Because this idea, I mean, Trump feels like he is on, and it's where they wanted to, like, they want to, I agree with you that they are starting to lay the predicate for defying judges, and not just judges on things like this, but they want to start with the cases that to a layperson might sound the most favorable to them.
Correct.
Hey, we were over international waters. We were deporting violent, criminals, gang members who were here illegally. What are you doing? And why should some judge? And we talked about this last week, and this is, I think, the nub of the nub is this question of, can a judge, they'll say, why should some one judge in Timbuktu, California, I think is specifically what Homan said, why should that judge get to set federal policy over the president of the United States who is elected? And so what is the answer to that, right? You do have these judges, right? They're getting, like, why is it this judge that we have who does this, right? They're basically saying, I think they want to set a predicate where, like, the only judges that matter are the Supreme Court, and that they can ignore a lot. Because I have people I know, who are responding to people I know from my Republican days being like, well, what do you do when the judges are lawless? If the judges are lawless, what are you supposed to do if not ignore them?
Well, this
right?
is
people are getting primed for this.
Right. They're, you know, I mean, they're being gaslit, but let's set the... There is an actual serious issue about the scope of injunctions issued by district judges, and it has affected both administrations of both parties over the course of a number of years. And I think I've mentioned it in the podcast before, or somebody's podcast.
No, we talked about it last week.
Correct. I mean, there is a question about how broad, you know, whether a judge in one district should ordinarily be permitted to issue nationwide injunctions. And there are lots of arguments both ways. One argument is, okay, do you really want to have a situation where you have to bring one lawsuit in every state to correct the same illegality, or do you want to have them bring one lawsuit in each of the, I don't know, 80 something or not, I don't know, I forgot how many federal districts there are now. And on the other hand, the problem from the government standpoint has been, and the Biden administration had this problem, is forum shopping, because the plaintiffs will pick districts or judges that they think are most favorable to them and most likely to give them the relief that they seek. And during the Trump, during the Biden administration and during the Obama administration, but particularly during the Biden administration, conservative plaintiffs, whether they be state attorney generals like Abbott and other red state attorney generals or conservative activists and organizations, they love to bring cases in, I think it was the Eastern District of Texas, before this one particular judge who was very, very right-wing and generally would give them what they want, and sometimes would get affirmed by the Fifth Circuit and sometimes would get reversed. And it is a problem, this forum shopping aspect. On the other hand, the judges, since Marbury against Madison, okay, this is the case you first read in constitutional law, 1804, you first read in constitutional law when you go to law school, and if you take any American government course that touches upon the judicial branch, you learn about it. It's the province of the courts to say what the law is. It's the province of the president and his branch, whether and the executive branch, whether you consider it unitary or not, doesn't really matter for purposes of this, to enforce that law as written by Congress, but ultimately as interpreted by the courts. And what Donald Trump wants to do is he's basically cutting out Congress, because he's engaging in he's writing executive orders that exceed the scope of his authority under congressionally written statutes. These are the statutes that supposedly he swears to faithfully execute along with the Constitution. He's basically writing his own law, trying to write his own law through executive orders. And then he's starting in these cases involving national security, he's starting to want to interpret the law and be the final arbiter and interpreter of what the law means. Law that he may not have written or may have just written the night before. And this is fascism. This is authoritarianism that they're trying to foist upon the public. The courts have the power to say, that's illegal, you executive agency head, or even the President of the United States. Take the Steele seizure case in 1951. That we all learn about in the history books and in American government classes and in constitutional law classes. When President Truman, because of the national security emergency of the Korean War, wanted to terminate a nationwide steel strike by having the government expropriate the steel mills and run the steel mills without any congressional authority whatsoever. And the Supreme Court, including Truman's own former Attorney General, Justice Robert Jackson, said, no, you can't do that, even under the guise of national security. Okay? That's why the courts get to say this. They get to pronounce what the law is. You may not like that. If you don't like what Judge Boasberg says, you take it up to the United States Court of Appeals for the District of Columbia Circuit. And if you don't like what they say, you can take it up to the Supreme Court of the United States. And here I want to add something to what you said earlier. You said, you know, they want everything to go up to the Supreme Court. Well, they're not necessarily going to win in the Supreme Court. Yep. This Alien Enemies Act, at least on the merits, maybe there's some procedural basis for striking down Judge Boasberg's order. I tell you, I haven't delved into it. There's some technical aspects of whether it should have been a habeas claim. I don't know. But the Alien Enemies Act, I can't imagine there are going to be 5 votes to construe the Alien Enemies Act to apply under the current circumstances. I can't. We're far gone if there are. But that being said, we could get to the point where this administration doesn't obey even the Supreme Court. And I don't, you know, people, I think there are a lot of people who hesitate to reach that conclusion. But the right-wing activists are already attacking Amy Coney Barrett as being some kind of a leftist shill for not voting in lockstep with Alito and Thomas or with their desires. And, you know, and they have a purely transactional view of law that is essentially Trump's narcissistic view, which is, if it's what I want, it's legal. If it's not what I want and it's against me or against my personal interest, it's illegal. And I will find, you know, and law is to be infinitely manipulated to reach the result that I desire or best suits my interests. And it shows, and that just to expand on that point, that is how the administration is conducting itself. Okay? I think what happened here is when Judge Boasberg issued his injunction, somebody at the Justice Department almost certainly called up the White House and talked to somebody at the White House whose name probably rhymes with Devin Biller, I don't know, and said, oh, we just got enjoined. They said, turn the planes around. And I'm sure, I will bet that whoever was on the other side of the phone, I could be wrong, but I think there's at least a 50% probability, said, well, we're not going to do that. And figure out a way so that we can get not do that. And they go back, and they're now filling and backing and filling and looking for rationales to do it. They don't care about law. They care about the results, and then they make up the law to be what they need it to be to get to the results that they've already, you know, it could be a fait accompli already. Okay, it's essentially lawless. They are forsaking law. They are forsaking rules. And the thing that the MAGAts don't understand and do not want to understand, and the people who are watching Fox News, is we live or die by the law because somebody else could do it to you. And you can't, you know, one of the things that conservatives have lost the ability to do, which I thought they used to have, was to basically say, okay, the liberals want to do that. We'd argue to the liberals, okay, but if you can do that, then our people could do this. You don't want that, right? And they don't care anymore. They don't believe in parity of logic. They don't believe that the shoe can ever be on the other foot. It's purely a power game. Who can tell the most lies? Who can use the most force? Who can ignore reason most effectively? And we have, you know, this is the reason why we have this grave danger to our republic, is that people don't respect facts. They don't respect logic. They don't respect argument. And they do not respect the fact that what applies to other people ought to be applied to them as well.
Hey, George, talk about the hearing yesterday.
The hearing yesterday, unfortunately, I did not get to listen to the hearing. There was an 833 number you could dial in, and I gather it was so oversubscribed, I didn't get a chance to actually hear it, but I saw a lot of the live tweeting and the newspaper reports. And essentially, the judge held that hearing, as he is entitled to do, to find out, did you disobey my order? And essentially, he was stonewalled by the Justice Department lawyer, who basically said, well, I can't tell you anything more about when the planes took off, where they took off from, who was on the planes, nothing, because of national security, which is complete. Maybe there is some national security element, tiny bit somewhere. I doubt it. This is bullshit. 98% probably bullshit, because people were watching these flights on Flight Radar 24. We know where the planes took off for. We know exactly when they took off. We know when they landed. We know where they landed. We know whether they went right or left 20 degrees all the way down to Tegucigalpa and then also into San Salvador. And the administration, not just, you know, the San Salvadoran administration and the White House were putting out videos touting what they had just done. What was secret about that? What was the national security secret they wanted the world to know? They didn't want the world to know beforehand because they wanted to sneak it through before any judge could stop them. And now, why would they possibly say, here's the list of people, here's the passenger manifest, here are the facts that we have, the dossier on each one of these people, and here's what happened when we told the White House. We didn't get a chance to tell the White House because the phones were busy, or whatever. Whatever the facts are with who knew what when and who had the power, if any, to turn those planes around. They're not telling anybody this. That's not national security. That is a cover-up of illegal behavior.
But so could he just get away with just saying, I'm not going to tell you?
That's the point. I mean, the point that Judge Boasberg made is that you can tell me I have a security clearance. Boasberg was served at one point on the FISA court, the Foreign Intelligence Surveillance Act court, which is a special court created by Congress that you have to go to when the Justice Department or some federal agency seeks to conduct overseas wiretapping that could intercept communications of American citizens. And that, all of those applications are chock full, as we know, we've heard debates about it in the past, of classified information, including, how we run these taps and how we get this information, how the NSA does its intercepts. Okay? And this judge was on that court, and this judge knows a lot of extremely important secrets, in addition to the fact that he presides over the grand jury of the District of Columbia now, which there's all sorts of classified information that gets in the
record. So then why don't they give it to him? Why don't he's what's their reason?
Because they don't want him to know it. And why is that? The only inference I can draw is that they don't want to be embarrassed. They don't want to basically reveal the fact that they decided to ignore his order.
Well, George Conway, he's a man with a plan. Got to sit down with Sarah Longwell, take a stand, explain all the legal problems they're piling high. With Donald Trump, oh my, oh my, oh my. He said, Sarah, let me break it down for you. There's obstruction of justice, corruption to the legal tangles and troubles that are growing fast. It's a storm that's gonna last and last. Oh, Conway, tell them well about it. Those legal problems can't live without it. From the Ebola mess to the Russian ties. Oh, Sarah, listen close.
I'm Alistair Campbell from The Rest is Politics.
Nish Kumar here from PodSave the UK.
And Christiana Figueres from Outrage and Optimism.
Rising inequality, conflict, climate disaster, it's very hard to find reasons to be hopeful about the future.
That's why we're teaming up this September during the 80th General Assembly of the United Nations.
Along with Political Currency, PodSave the World, The Week Junior, and more.
We'll discuss the stories that give us hope and answer the question, how does hope turn into action?
Look out for the Be Hope Takeover this September.
Hey y'all, Darius Rucker here. A lot of people ask me, what inspires your music? And one of the big things is a strong sense of place. That's why I love my home state of South Carolina and want to share the awesome things it has to offer. From the beautiful mountains down to the sunny coast, it's got it all. Not to mention two of my personal favorites, great golf and amazing food. Come see why I love this place. Visit discoversouthcarolina.com.
Attention all small biz owners. At the UPS Store, you can count on us to handle your packages with care. With our certified packing experts, your packages are properly packed and protected. And with our pack and ship guarantee, when we pack it and ship it, we guarantee it. Because your items arrive safe or you'll be reimbursed. Visit the upsstore.com/guarantee for full details. Most locations are independently owned. Product, services, pricing, and hours of operation may vary. See center for details. The UPS Store. Be unstoppable. Come into your local store today.